Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and PT pearls to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. It is March 1st, which means the Move to Improve Challenge is officially begun, and I am so excited for the incredible community. The good news is you can still get in. There is still time. This is the last week to register, officially the last week. And guess what? It is a one-time price, $45. That's it for 27 brand new videos with me instructing you throughout the entire thing. And not only do you get to be led throughout these 30 days, but you get to keep this for life. So again, it is so worth it. I am telling you, the people who went through last time and the things that they learned and opened up within their body, I don't just do this for myself, obviously. I do it for you. So if you've been listening, you want to feel something different in your body, you want to learn about your body, this is the place to do it. So go to the link in the show notes. It is docgenfit.com/move. Send it to your friends, send it to your family. Let's move together, let's learn together, and let's feel better in our bodies.
All right, jumping into cold therapy. This is something that we use a lot in the medical world, especially like in athletics. People think about icing something, icing an injury. And we just kind of wanted to dissect cold therapy, when it might be beneficial, what it's actually doing in the body, and historically, how we have told people to use ice.
Yeah, which it is very icy because right now we're recording this from icy Minnesota as we sit in our nice warm sauna. The yes. Contrast right now is hilarious.
We get contrast therapy just by coming to our sauna because we have to walk outside to get to it. So you go through the freezing cold, then you get your heat therapy, and then you walk back out through the freezing cold to get back inside.
I know, such an adventure here. But, you know, I think what's so beautiful about this topic is it's been debated a lot, and you can look on the internet like most things and people will argue to the death one side versus another. And so it's really important to start to understand for yourself, you know, well, what does this actually mean? What is beneficial? What is not beneficial for me to know? And really starting to understand it, you know?
I just like, why does it always have to be that way where people like, yes, ice is good, or no, ice is bad? Like, and those are the only two answers. I don't get why people feel like we need to argue things in that as, you know, bipartisan an issue. Like, that's not the case. There might be some times that it's good. It's always a it depends answer. And that's what we're learning if you've listened to any of our episodes.
Right. And we're always learning. And I think that's the beauty of not getting so like you can only do this or this is bad, this is good. Be very careful when even clinicians are using that with you. You know, it depends. Maybe in your circumstance, something is more beneficial. Something can be less beneficial, but it doesn't mean it make it wrong or bad or some other therapist using it was not informed. You know, they're just maybe using it for a different intent.
Yeah. And that's where, you know, if you're ever working with a provider who uses a lot of those definites, like, oh, you need to use this at this time or need to use that, rather than kind of using the language that you said, that's one of those things that you can kind of tease out if you start seeing someone who gives you recommendations. Are they giving you definite answers or are they giving you a lot of information that can kind of help paint the picture for you?
Right. So let's dive right in. We're physical therapists, so we're talking about ice in the setting of injury. Yeah. Pain. A lot of times, at least I know, like in the clinic I worked at, we put ice packs around people a lot of the time, or they'd end with ice and electrical stimulation. And, you know, a lot of this gets, I remember even as an aide, like our job was to pack ice bags, and we would like compete as to who can make the best ice pack with no air in it. And it looks like this perfect rectangle that could just wrap around an arm or a shoulder. So funny.
And in some of those clinics, you literally could make a job out of just wrapping ice packs because of how much we use it. And some people may recognize this process of coming into a clinic, having some heat put on you, doing some exercises, maybe having the therapist do some manual therapy or massage type stuff on you, and then ending with, like you said, ice and stim. And it just kind of comes this process that you come in every time and you have that type of process.
Right.
Why?
Right. And should you be reaching for ice the first thing if you roll your ankle? Mm-hmm. If you get an injury? If you see a lot of swelling, should you be icing right away? And we're going to talk into where, you know, the idea of rushing and grabbing an ice pack even started, because I think it's important to know the history of how this all began.
Totally.
Which is really cool, right?
Yeah. And a lot of people will recognize the acronym RICE, mm-hmm. right? Especially if you're in athletic training, personal training, PT, RICE, rest, ice, compress, and elevate. And that was mm-hmm. what this guy, Dr. Merkin, in 1978 did his research, and he said, oh, this is how we need to treat all injuries. Mm-hmm. We rest it, we compress it to prevent that swelling, we ice it to bring down inflammation or whatever mm-hmm. it is, and we elevate to get the gravity to bring the blood back to the heart. Great. This is how we're going to treat injuries.
Right. Exactly. Because we saw inflammation rushing to an injury as a bad thing.
Yeah. And they said, oh,
essentially,
inflammation, what can we do to get that to go down? Mm-hmm. Bring some cold to the area, bring some ice to the area to get the vessels to constrict a little bit to reduce the inflammation in that area, and bada bing, bada boom, we're good.
Right, exactly. What we have learned over time is, well, first of all, from RICE, then it changed in 1998, it went to PRICE. So rather than just icing, we then switched to, okay, first we need to protect whatever injury happened. Mm-hmm. And then we can go right into our RICE formula, right? Of rest, ice, compress, and elevate. But we have to protect whatever is going on. So especially if you have an injury out on a field, or if you have, you know, you're suddenly in a traumatic accident or something, like, we have to do whatever we can to protect that body part, that injury first. And then we go into the RICE formula, which is what happened.
Yeah, which to me, protect, rest. I mean, if you strain something, maybe like getting something around it, maybe right. if you're like stabilizing it in that right. very initial stage, whatever. And then, you know, the next change that we saw in that formula was in 2012, some people came out and they said, okay, resting, is that what we want to be doing? Or do we want to be putting some tension through those muscles and tendons and whatnot? So they changed it to police, which means protect, optimal loading, replace that R mm-hmm. or for rest. So optimal loading, which kind of gives you some flexibility, like, mm-hmm. okay, the day after I roll my ankle, what's optimal?
Right.
A lot different than 2 weeks after I roll my ankle.
Right.
What's optimal for loading? Mm-hmm. So right here, I'm like, all right, cool. We're seeing some progress yeah. that gives people flexibility within this structure. And then the ICE or the ICE was still ice, compress, and elevate.
Right, exactly. And the whole reason for this is because we started to realize that rest wasn't the best option for people. Mm. Like, oh, amazing. We actually can load the area. We can put some tension, even coming out of surgery, you yeah. know? And it's okay, and it's not scary. And as long as we're doing it in a progressive manner that is pertinent to the injury at the time, then it makes sense. Right. So
totally.
It is a really cool step in the right direction in terms of not just putting a sling on it or telling you to sit for 2 weeks and not do anything. And if that yeah. is still the language that a doctor might be telling you.
Yeah, we might need to, again, start to make some changes or change at least our understanding of what our injury needs in that moment. Yeah. And so this is cool for me because this is probably where we start to kind of like dice up more as to what that inflammation or what that immediate process is doing in the body. And inflammation, as we know, is a really important part of the healing process. It brings a lot of these cytokines. It brings a lot of the things that start to sense, okay, what happened to the tissue? What do we need to take away? Yep. What new tissues do we need to put down?
Yep.
And we realize when we're resting, we're not really telling all of these cytokines, and we're not really telling all of these things what to do.
Yeah, they're just coming to protect.
They're just coming, and they're like, okay, what do we do? And since we're sitting there doing nothing, they're just like, we're going to stay here. Yeah. And they start laying down all these tissues so that you might not be able to move as much if you're not getting that optimal loading, where now we've added in optimal loading, which again, right away might just be the classic with a rolled ankle is your alphabet or your ankle circles.
Or ankle pumps.
Ankle pumps, ankle circles, which again, PTs are notorious for like coming in, all right, ankle pumps, like in a hospital room. Yeah. But after a rolled ankle, the more you can get that ankle pumping and moving comfortably in that first day or two, super important for that optimal loading stage.
Exactly. And what are we doing when we're doing that? We're pumping fluid through.
Yep.
So it's not all going to just stay in one place all of a sudden. It's going to, yes, you might still have inflammation, but it's going to be moving. It's going to be doing something. It's going to be working for you. So it's a beautiful process rather than just saying, okay, rest. And I love that you added ankle pumps, because it shows that optimal loading doesn't mean that you're all of a sudden going walking or jumping or doing something. Right. Exactly. Optimal loading can just be movement, but it's not saying you're just resting and you're going to lay in bed and watch Netflix and do nothing.
Yeah, totally. And so then after this, I think is the really cool part where we're just like, okay, what's the ice actually doing?
Yeah.
What is that doing to the area when we put an ice pack on? And we started to realize that, okay, the ice that we're putting on there, it's really just kind of staying surface level. Are we actually affecting in a grand scheme the local inflammation in that area? Not really. Mm-hmm. It's not really getting down to the muscle level to change the temperature of the muscles, to change those specific inflammatory cytokines that might be right in that area. But ice does do some other things, which is, I think, the reason that we initially started using it.
Mm-hmm, exactly. But what was cool is that in 2014, Dr. Merkin, who came up with the RICE protocol, all of a sudden retracted his protocol and said, you know what, right now, this might not be the best thing initially when you have injury. Rest, ice, compress, elevate. And that doesn't mean that he maybe took out all of the aspects of it, but he said, for an initial injury, I don't think anymore, now that we have more current up-to-date research, understanding of the physiology of what's really happening within the body, I don't think that this would be the best protocol.
The best protocol or the only protocol?
The only protocol.
And the thing I think is so valuable about that, like this guy, Rice, he was in every textbook. He was like the namesake.
We said it for over 20 years. I mean, right? We still say it. I still hear it.
Totally. People are still using this thing. And for someone in science to be able to separate from the thing that they founded, from the science that they came up with, rather than holding himself down and trying to stick with this Rice technique, for him to come out and say, okay, I've learned a ton and science has been able to show a lot of new things.
Yeah.
And I think there might be a little bit better way to explain this.
Yes.
Which is where we come up with the next acronym, which is
Peace and Love.
Peace and Love.
So hippie.
So hippie. But it's really incredible because it starts to add in a lot of education.
Right.
And it starts to add in a lot of other components that, again, add some flexibility depending on where you're specifically at.
Mm-hmm. So peace, protection, elevation. Avoid anti-inflammatories, compression, and education. And then love being load, optimism. I thought you were going to do it.
Sorry.
Vascularization and exercise.
Yeah. So the thing that I love about this is it starts to add in some really cool components like avoid anti-inflammation.
Yeah.
Again, and this is tough to talk about. Indefinites, because again, avoid anti-inflammation. There's a time and place for everything.
Yes.
But what we're saying here is that we don't want to introduce things into the system
initially
that are going to really mess up our body's understanding of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And if we add too much in, if we're in that next week, just like throwing the anti-inflammatories into our system, doing a lot of systemic cryo stuff so that our body can't just take a minute to pause, realize what's going on in the area, and then start to do some of those loadings, start to do some of the more educational based stuff. Again, still protecting and elevating that foot, because those things in an initial stage of injury are going to be really important.
Right. I mean, it's funny because in one sense you are saying avoid anti-inflammatories, in the next sense you're saying compress and elevate. So people are still going to be like, well, I don't understand, because essentially you're trying to avoid too much inflammation. And I think that's where we're all pretty much in agreement. Yes, we want inflammation. Inflammation is healthy. It's a natural system within our body. It helps to clear out. It helps to rebuild. And if we then get stuck with too much inflammation, we decrease mobilization, increase pain. Yeah. You know, all of these other factors start to happen. So compression and elevation playing a role still within that.
And I think one really, really important distinguisher is between inflammation and swelling and edema.
Yes.
Two completely different things. You know, we can have a smaller amount or a normalish amount of inflammation in a joint that could then become very swollen or edematous, or, you know, have a lot of fluid in it that then, like you said, will restrict the mobility, will yeah. restrict our ability to do some optimal loading, mm-hmm. right? And then that's where it could impact the healing process, because then we can't get back to those ankle pumps we were talking about.
Exactly. So maybe initially, when we have an injury, we don't want to just run immediately for the ice. But what we have seen is if we optimally use the ice within 36 to 48 hours after injury, it's really helping to control more of that secondary phase, that edema, not yep. necessarily the inflammation. And mm-hmm. all we're doing there, I mean, we have shown studies that prove that ice is helpful for reducing that pain sensation.
Mm-hmm. There were actually studies that said that after surgery, if yeah. you use ice, you can reduce the amount of pain medications people will use.
Which is huge.
Yeah.
Like, if we can reduce the amount of pain medication that people are using, that's the number one thing that's happening yeah. in hospitals.
So this is where we don't want to say like no to ice, because there are plenty of studies that have yeah. showed benefits. We just want to remove ourselves from this thought that ice is going to help reduce inflammation, which is bad, or right. something like that. Or ice is going to reduce inflammation, which it's slows good. My healing process. Yeah. I feel like there's people that are probably still in both boats on that one.
Yeah. Totally. And so realizing, okay, and you might be listening to this and saying, well, then when do I use it, right?
Right, right.
I mean, that's still always the question. Well, then what do I do? Well, as most things, it depends. And ultimately, if you have gone past, you know, you rolled your ankle and you didn't want to ice, maybe you compressed, maybe you elevated, maybe you started those ankle pumps, and you're still noticing about 36 to 48 hours later that there's mm-hmm. still this level of
swelling
yeah. and a lot more swelling.
And maybe a lot of pain.
Yeah, a lot of pain. And it's really restricting you from even being able to really move or load or do anything.
Totally.
Then, you know what? Adding about five minutes, 20 minutes of some ice isn't going to be detrimental to your healing totally. Process.
And that range, I like how you gave a nice wide range.
Yeah.
Because some people might put ice on their ankle
still
and
depends.
Five minutes can be really a lot.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, I'm going to take this thing off, versus someone who might not react as quickly to that stimulus might need it on there longer.
Yeah. I mean, you're really not doing much good if you have it on for over 20 minutes.
And the thing that, again, makes sense to me when I think in my science physical therapy brain, when I put ice on something, what's it going to cause? It's going to cause surface vasoconstriction.
Yeah.
It's going to cause slightly less blood to be coming to that surface level. So there, you know, we might reduce some of the fluids being pumped into the area by our heart. And when we talked about pain, when we put something cold on our skin, we have different nerves that sense that temperature.
Mm-hmm.
And it's called gating. Mm-hmm. You know, we have mechanical gating, which is when we rub something when it hurts. And then this is more of a temperature or a sensational-based gating, where we put something cold on, and it's proven to reduce our levels of pain, because it actually kind of distracts our brain from the pain it was perceiving.
We're kind of numbing the system right there as well, in that yeah. local area, right? And so a lot of people still feel like it's going to help. And you know what? If you're feeling like it's helping, okay. Yeah.
If you feel like it helps your pain, it helps your pain.
It helps your pain then. However, you cannot just say, oh, I'm going to ice
every day,
and that's going to be my only protocol. It's yeah. going to take down my inflammation. It's going to make me ultimately feel better. That's not the case.
No.
And that's what we're saying, right? So if you're leaving every treatment icing, well, why? Is there extra swelling in that area? Maybe the initial little bouts of swelling that happen was because it's new for the tissue
mm-hmm.
and your tissue is rebuilding and it's taking time. and maybe you did a little too much for new exercise. You know, there's so many different factors, mm-hmm. and it really depends. But I would say if you're using it mainly for a pain modulator, a little earlier in the protocol, you know, just for that secondary edema and swelling that's happening. But if you're using it in chronic pain situations, mm-hmm. it might not really be doing much past that sensation of pain.
Totally. And then that's where it starts to become that Band-Aid that we might just use yeah. time after time and be like, well, it helps a little bit when I put ice on it, but then right. it's back to my normal or back exactly. to my baseline pretty quick after that. And
so what else could we be doing?
Yeah. Well, one thing that I want to say, the love part where it's yeah. loading and O is optimism.
Yeah.
I think it's so cool that they have that in there. As a former athlete, as an athlete yourself, like, you know that one of the toughest things, and you don't have to be an athlete, you have to be somebody who moves through the world. And as soon as you have an injury that prevents you from moving functionally or moving purposefully how you normally do, it kind of hits you mentally or emotionally to a degree. And to be able to totally. Have that optimism and say, okay, this is part of the process. I'm starting to load. It's a little bit uneasy. I don't know if I'm going to be back to normal. Just to flip that script and have optimism and say, this is part of the process.
Yeah. Like, how cool is that?
Yeah.
Like, my body's actually working for me, not against me.
Totally.
When I hear that, when my body all of a sudden starts to swell because something happened, that's because it has these natural processes to work to help me. Not to fight against me. So I don't want to continue to fight against it. I want to allow it. And then if there's extra, okay, maybe I can do a little bit for this, right?
Yeah, for sure. And so I think that that's like as concise and, you know, complete a rundown of using this just local ice, you right. know, that can kind of give you a different way of thinking about it. If you ever roll your ankle, if you ever have a soft tissue injury, like how might I approach this? And keep in mind, peace and love.
Yeah, peace and love.
Right, to help you bring you through that. But, you know, along with just local applications, we mm-hmm. also, there's a lot of people, and it's very popularized these days to do these systemic cryotherapies.
Yes, then this is one of our favorites.
This is what I love.
Not my favorite, but if I'm going to talk about, you know, doing ice training, doing mm-hmm. it has such amazing benefits, but and we're going to talk about those, but it's kind of also like turmeric. Mm-hmm. So if you're like, well, turmeric helps with, you know, reducing my inflammation, so I'm just going to take my little turmeric shot and be good. Doesn't work like that.
Yeah,
you'd have to add turmeric with black pepper because it's actually the curcumin that needs to get mm-hmm. stimulated to, anyways, that's a different topic. But anyways, it has to be, I think one of the studies showed it has to be for at least 2 weeks consistently for it to actually start doing any anti-inflammatory effects. So like anything, like exercise, like healthy mindset, we have to be practicing it on a continual basis.
Yeah, and physiologically, it comes down to in our system, we have these like thermoregulatory proteins, yes. and we have these cold proteins that start to sense all around our body like, oh, shoot,
yeah.
you know, something's going on yeah. here. And when we're exposed to that, like
it's a stressor.
It's a stressor. It's a hormetic stressor. And when you continue to do that over a few weeks, then your system says, all right, let's learn to adapt to this a little bit so we might be able to handle a little more, so we might not go into fight or flight quite as fast. It starts to bring down systemic inflammatory cytokines,
yeah.
Different tumor necrosis factors that, you know, are responsible for growth processes, and we can start to slow it down. I know Dr. Rhonda Patrick loves talking about this and yeah. has lots of information on that type of stuff.
We'll definitely link up one of her podcasts where she talks about cryotherapy. And, you know, what's really cool in some of the studies, we still don't know enough about it, I will say. Like, we don't know enough about the duration, about the exact temperatures to really, but in general, like, we have seen studies that, you know, if you start to use this on a regular basis in general, it can help to even improve brain function.
Yeah.
It can help to improve your immune system. You know, and there's so many healthy benefits that come with just exposing your body to these healthy stressors, meaning a healthy stressor is something you knowingly are going into to that you know your body's going to freak out at first, and you're going to teach it a different process, which is also so mental and such a benefit. So like my recommendation for people who, you know, deal with anxiety issues, who deal with panic attacks. Like if you show your body that you can control it in a super stressed out situation, because dipping into an ice bath is a super stressful situation.
Yeah.
And if you, you know, can control your breath and come into a complete peace and relaxation, you're like, oh, there's actually a different way that I can approach a lot of things.
It is. It's steering yourself right into the center of the shitstorm and, and telling your brain, like, we're going to make it out of this.
Yeah.
Just stick with me. And once you really train yourself to do that, our body, you know, anxiety or different things that pop up kind of physiologically happen the same as if you were to walk out into a snowstorm in your underwear, you know,
which you would do,
which I totally would do. I ran down here in my suit right now. So, but, going out in the cold, one thing that physiologically and evolutionarily is built into us, you know, we as mammals have fat on our body.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times we store this fat called brown fat, which is like this deeply rooted fat that our body's just like storing and holding, just like, all right, we're ready. We got these energy stores to go just in case. And in an instance where you're out in the cold, that's where, you know, you got to think evolutionarily. If we all of a sudden were thrust into a snowstorm and needed to hike back to somewhere for an hour, we have the fat stored to keep our body warm. So it starts to activate this brown fat. And actually, that's the fat that's stored in our abdomen a lot, around our organs, a lot around our liver, around our heart, and stuff like that. So it's readily available to power those organs in life or death situations.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so many incredible benefits, improving metabolism, improving sleep, decreasing pain.
Norepinephrine in the brain, these endorphins that just make our brain pop off.
Yes. So there are a lot of incredible benefits to exposing yourself to something that seems really scary, right? It physiologically, not only mentally, and systemically. And when we start to hit, and Dom and I both, like our first conversations, we were talking about this when we first ever met, because a lot of times what happens in physical therapy is that you look at a body part, you look at an individual area, and you say, how can I fix this, right? But what Dom and I were both so passionate about is, how can I fix this human? How can I help, you know, them guide themselves?
How can we set up the environment slightly differently to influence everything? And then beyond that, if we need to take more specific looks at things, we can.
Yeah.
But why not put your body in the most optimal position to succeed overall? And then we can address specific components if needed. But generally, when you do those overarching things, everything else kind of seems to fall in place. And that's not a coincidence to me.
Exactly. So if we can just start addressing the body systemically, so rather than where am I going to ice? Well, can you turn your shower like the last 10 seconds? Start with 10 seconds. This is what I'm telling myself to. Start with the last.
Do this?
Excuse me. Start with the last 10 seconds. I've done only two ice baths, I think.
I did two.
One, I rocked it like a champ. That was my first one. Did it with my friend Scott McGee, and he led me through, and he was amazing. And then the second one I did with you.
Yeah.
Also. Like, I, when you learn how to control your breath, too, episode 11, it becomes so much easier to put yourself in this stressful situation. I even have pelvic floor therapy friends who are saying that they are going to start women who know they want to have a baby and want to go into childbirth and maybe want to do it more natural. This is going to become a regular protocol in prepping for birth. Yes.
I completely support that. And when I think about that, you know, when we talk about pain, and it's cool, my sister-in-law just did a completely natural
she is a beast.
Water birth in her living room, did it like a champ, delivered in a runner's lunge.
That's crazy.
Which is wild, but it's how we can modulate and recalibrate our brain to this perception of pain.
Yeah.
Because when something touches our skin and it's below 40 degrees Fahrenheit, it feels like pain. Mm-hmm. And then when you have that on every inch of your body, the only thing that you have is your brain to be able to tell you, I'm going to be okay. This isn't going to kill me. It is quite uncomfortable.
Yeah, right.
But give me 100 breaths and we can get out of this.
One thing I do want to say too, I know, again, going back to Dr. Rhonda Patrick, shout out. She's amazing. But I remember hearing on her podcast as well that they were kind of talking into the research in terms of athletes who jump into a cryotherapy tub, mm-hmm. you know, directly after a workout or after a game. And actually, it's more beneficial to do it 24 hours later, because especially after a workout, maybe not after a game, you just got beat up, but after a workout or a same. Anyways, 24 hours later is basically what you want to really aim for, because you still do want that inflammation. Again, totally. The healthy inflammation, allowing the body to do its thing and then saying, okay, systemically and whole body wise, I'm still going to support my system in this way.
Totally. And I mean, coming from a football environment, like I could say that in a lot of instances, it was the ice bath the next day, you know, or over the week, you know, over the weekend after our game. Like a lot of guys would jump in the ice bath right after the game. And my senior year, junior year, especially, we had this big old hot tub that like 14 of us could just go and sit in together. And it was cold and it had jets. So it was blasting the water around. And yeah, I mean, we'd all get in it right after the game. But especially as an athlete, let your body sit in some of that.
Yeah.
Let your body sit in some of those bruises that you've earned for a little bit. And then 24 hours later, you know, give it the love you need. Use that cold for some analgesia or some pain relief and to prevent too much secondary edema.
Yeah. So really looking at how you're using it, why you're using it, and the intent behind it.
All right. So if you were watching the YouTube at all, you would have seen that Jen and I actually recorded this podcast from our Clear Light sauna, which we got in Minnesota. It's amazing. It's incredible having it in the winter, especially since we just had a week that was like negative 30 degrees, which is insane. But we got to go down in the sauna, still get the benefit of having heat, having light. And Jen and I both love this. We're going to be coming out with a podcast soon on the benefits of heat therapy and some of the benefits of using a sauna consistently. But for now, if you want to go check out the Clear Light saunas, you should go to them. Let them know if you decide to get anything that you came from us or that you heard of them from us. Use code OPTIMAL. They have a little gift that they're going to give you if you decide to go in and purchase one of these saunas for yourself. And also keep an eye out for the episode that's going to be on saunas and heat therapy, because there are so many benefits that can come from these things.
Thank you again for joining us on yet another PT Pearl. We just appreciate you so much. And of course, if you need more visuals for each PT Pearl, they are over at Doc Jen Fit on YouTube. There is a whole section for the PT Pearls from the Optimal Body Podcast that you can use to really see what we're talking about. And don't forget, if you really like this, if you're learning from it, share it out, share it with your community. Tell us what you're learning. Rate and subscribe to the episode, because there's going to be so many more goodies and PT Pearls along the way. And if you're ready to dive in even deeper, don't forget, we have an Optimal Body membership with an incredible community of movers learning with us and moving in their body. Until next time, thank you again.